As we come back together on this evening, continuing to give thanks unto our wonderful God above. On this morning, we started a lesson dealing with the condition of the erring, the condition of the erring. We are going to continue this evening with a few more scripture references dealing with the condition of the erring. Not so much as dealing with the one that we know that has erred away from the truth, but actually looking at our condition, looking at our condition. There are many times that we can see the condition of the next man and fail to see our own condition, that we may need some encouragement, that we ourselves may be lost. So the question is asked, what is your condition? What is your condition? Are you doing what God is pleased with? There are times where we assemble together with the saints and we think that we have done enough. I've done my due diligence. I attended worship service on Sunday. What more do you want of me? What more can I offer? Well, as it was written unto Jude, the Bible says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, or what we find here in the book, to those who are called, beloved in God, the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. He continues and says, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about the common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. I found it necessary. I believe that when we think about something that is necessary, something that is needful, that we need to consider the book of Jude. And we need to consider our obligation, our responsibility to stand up for the truth. There are times where men may come at us and talk bad about our Lord and our Savior. And when they're denying the gospel, that's just what they're doing. And we have a tendency sometimes to not want to get engaged with them in conversation. We're not trying to start an argument. We're not trying to fist fight, but just to have a conversation. Sometimes we find it easy to just turn and walk away. But Jude is saying, contend earnestly for the faith. Stand up for what you know to be right. Oh, man has some ideas, but God's plan is so much better. He says in verse 4, for certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the gospel or the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. That have crept in unnoticed. Wolves in sheep's clothing. We have no idea what they're about. We have no idea where they have come from until they open their mouths. And when they open their mouths, they have nothing good to say about our worship. They have nothing good to say about our steadfastness. But yet they are trying to pervert what has been taught and try to pull men and women away unto something that is false. But he says, contend earnestly for the faith. What is your condition? Or are you contending? Or are you willing to contend? Someone, when you was a little child, or even now, somebody walk up to you and challenge you to a fight. What are you going to do? Hopefully, you'll walk away. Hopefully, you'll be the bigger person and say, fighting is not the answer. But when it comes down to the gospel, we need to fight. We need to stand up. We need to be the bigger person and say that God's word is true, and everything that you're talking about, it really doesn't make any sense. Or are you willing to do that? Have you been doing that? If you are willing, that's great. If you have been doing it, that's even better. Continue to do those things that are right. And we are challenged quite often, reference to the gospel. We are challenged about who Jesus Christ is and what he came down here to this earth to do. We're challenged on those things. And the only thing we can do is point them to the word. Tell them about the faith, the only faith that you can read about in Scripture, about how to serve our God, how to trust in him, because he will never, the Bible says, leave us nor forsake us. He's our God. And so what is your condition? We find in Luke chapter 19 and the verses 10. Luke chapter 19 in the verses 10. We may have some people that are willing to contend. Great contenders. But how are you at looking for the lost? How are you about going out there in the highways and the byways? How are you about going into the neighborhoods? How about you going on that street where no one else want to go for that person that has strayed away, for that person that has slipped off into the crevices somewhere? How are you about going after that person? I remember many, many years ago where I had a conversation with some elders, and one of them had the audacity to say that it wasn't his responsibility to go out and to find the lost. And I just looked at him and asked him a simple question. Well, whose responsibility is it? You are supposed to be the shepherd. One of your sheep is gone. What are you going to do? He said, I'm not going to do anything. And it's sad when a man is in that position of leadership and do not understand how to lead. But this is just not for the elders. This is for every Christian. This is for everyone that has put Christ on, that has seen your brother or your sister go back out there into the world. What are you doing about it? The Bible says, reference to our Lord and our Savior, that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't just come to this earth just to be coming because this is what God wanted him to do. He came to save the lost. He came to look for the lost. And we have many Christians today. Now, there wasn't Christians at that time. It was the children of Israel. But we have many Christians today that are lost. And we have men and women, brothers and sisters, that do not know their responsibility. What is your condition in this matter? What are you doing? Or are you actively going out and looking for that person that is lost? And yes, sometimes we have to look for them. They're not going to always be where you think they are. They've gone somewhere else. You may go by their house, knock on their door. They may not be home. And you may say, when can I catch them at home? You may never catch them at home. You may have to look for them. The man that is a repo guy. You think that it's real easy for him to go and repo cars? Oh, he had to look for those cars. He had to go to the storage shed sometime and look for them. See, they got this little device on them where they can sometimes track them. What if Christians What if a Christian had a device on them where you can track them? You know how what I believe that some of us would still do? We'll say, yep, that's where they are, but I'm not going over there. If you want that Christian to come back, you'll go over there. If that man wants that car, he's going to go wherever that car is, and he's going to get that car. My uncle and my cousin, they're in Texas, but you know they go all the way to California just to report a car. Because they want that car. When they get it, it may not be worth anything. When we find that lost soul, he or she may be beat up so bad. They may be going through some things. They may be strung out on drugs. But you know what? We still need them back. Because you know what God has done? You know what we have done in many cases, why they're in that shape? Because the Bible says, turn them over to Satan and let Satan have his way with them for the destruction of the flesh so that the soul may be saved. When we find them, they may be destroyed outwardly, but inwardly they can be renewed. They may be glad to see us. They may be so excited that they may just drop everything that they're doing, and they may run at you. And they may say, I'm glad that you finally found me. I've been waiting on you. And that's the sad part, that they're waiting on somebody, but yet they're not doing anything. But we still have to go out there and look for them. If they're waiting, that's great. If they're going to fight against us, that's not so good. But we have to go out there and we have to look for them. What is your condition in this matter right here? What is your condition? I believe we need to give that some serious thought about those lost souls out there. And we need to try our very best to find them before it is too late for them. We ask this question and we look at it. Do we need to pray to God? Do we just need to stop and pray to Him, not because of someone else's condition, but because of our condition? We looked at this a little bit this morning. We didn't read the scripture, but let's read it on this evening. In the book of Acts chapter 8. And we find again where Peter was addressing Simon the sorcerer. And he says there in verse 17, because he had to see what was going on in order to have the attitude that he had. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe that when we see things happening, we have a certain way of responding. Bible said, now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give me this money, this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. Do we need to pray this evening? Do we need to pray for ourselves that the intent of our hearts may not be held against us because we're thinking about doing something wrong? We have the wrong mindset about what God has done and what we can do. Do we need to pray this evening? What is your condition? I believe that we do not spend enough time in prayer. I believe that we do not understand or really want to acknowledge that God can answer prayer, because we go through trials and tribulations in this life and we just say, well, what's going to be is going to be. It's going to happen, it's going to happen. Prayer changes things. You think Peter just told Simon just to pray, to be praying? No. Repent and pray. We repent and pray. And here is what Simon asked him, you know, pray for me. And it's okay to ask people to pray for you, but we need to pray for ourselves. We need to get in a condition that we can pray for ourselves and our prayers are heard by God. How did we start this morning in Isaiah 59 how the iniquities of the people, their prayers were not being heard. God was not recognizing them because of their iniquities. They had separated them from God. Get right with God. Repent and pray. Repent and pray. Are you willing? What is your condition? What is your condition? Being faithful and holding on. I mentioned this morning in Bible class that we would talk a little bit about being persecuted. How men stood for the truth. How they were persecuted because they knew that going through these persecutions that everything would be all right on the other side. Not necessarily in life, but on the other side, everything would be all right. If these things happen, I was listening to the prayer reference to men being persecuted, this, that, and the other, and understanding this, mentioning that we don't have to, or we're not constantly, I believe is the way the brother put it, being harassed by our government for worshiping God. What if that did happen? What if that did happen? If the government was constantly harassing us for worshiping, if someone was always coming through that door saying, all of you Christians, line up and we're going to take you to jail, what would you do? What would you do? I believe some of y'all would be trying to go out the back doors right here. You know, in lunch line, we got people trying to cut in front of the other. I think I'd be trying to get in front of that line. Here, take me first. I'm a worshiper of God. I love him enough for you to take me to jail. And when I get there, you're going to have to do something else to him because I'm going to continue to worship him. What's your condition? Are you willing, as the Bible states there in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, are you willing to be faithful unto the death? Are you willing? In some cases, that's exactly what will happen. Some will be put to death. Others will, they're just, you know, probably harass them just enough, trying to get some information out of them. You know, they pick on the weak people, and that's okay for you to be weak, but I want you to understand that you can be strong. You can hold on to your integrity to the Lord. Be persecuted if it be so. Don't give up. Never throw in the towel. Fight until the very end. Contend earnestly as we started with Jude 3 for the faith. That time may come. That time may come. We're here in the United States of America that we are persecuted for being Christians. If it happens, it happens. Let's continue to worship God the way He needs to be worshipped. In verse 25 of Revelation chapter 2, the one who conquers and who keeps my works unto the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. 25. Only hold fast what you have until I come. Only hold fast what you have until I come. And the one who conquers and who keeps my works unto the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. I don't really think that we know what it means to hold on. You know, a lot of times we want to rush things. You know, when you're told, wait just a minute. I'll be with you after a while. And that while, after a while, is too long for you. Could only be a few seconds. And you say, when am I going to be able to do what you want me to do? When am I going to get what you have promised me? God is not slack concerning his promises. If he tells us to wait, we need to wait. We need to hold on. He will aid us in whatever we're going through. He will aid us. But we have to know the importance of being faithful and holding on. Being faithful and holding on. It's one thing to say, I'm holding what I have, but my faith is wavering. That's not going to work. Or my faith is strong, but I'm going to let go because it's not all that strong. You'd be like Jesus talking to Peter. Oh, you of little faith. When did you doubt? When did you doubt? We cannot doubt that God will aid us. We cannot doubt that he will give us that crown in the very end. We have to hold on. We have to remain faithful. What is your condition? What is your condition? We need to keep asking ourselves this question. And every now and then we find ourselves, going back to Jude 3, we find ourselves not really willing to contend for the faith. And we need to get back to the scriptures and we need to say, why am I feeling this way? Why do I think that I cannot stand up with the best of them? You know what gets me when we start talking about contending earnestly for the faith? The ones that always want to fight against us are the ones that, basically, some of them don't, but most of them do, have some type of degree. They think that they know so much more than the next man. But there's nowhere in this Bible that I find that you have to have a PhD to understand what God wants you to do. You don't even have to have a master's. You don't even have to have a bachelor's or associate's. You don't even have to graduate high school to understand what God wants you to do, to contend earnestly for the faith. Little children can open up God's word and they can look at it and you can tell them to read this scripture reference and tell me what it means. And they can do that. They can do that. But it takes grown folks sometimes to look at that scripture and mess it up. We have to remain strong. We have to continue to study the word and we have to continue to contend earnestly for the faith and understand the importance of looking for that person that is lost out there because of something that has happened in his or her life to cause them to think that nobody cares about them. Nobody. You ever seen a lost dog? That lost dog that has ran away from home, you can see his ribs. He's always sniffing around for something to eat. We have some Christians out there like that. They're lost. You can see their ribs and they're looking for something to eat. They're thirsty. They're hungry. And it's our responsibility to go out there and find them and bring them back home and feed them, clothe them, do what is right before them and make sure that they get the proper nourishment from the Word of God in order for them to understand the importance of repenting of their sins. Praying to God and asking God to forgive them for what they have done, that they may be strengthened and they may continue to grow stronger and stronger and not allow every little thing to get next to them and for them to go right back out there into the world. We have to encourage people to be strong. And we ourselves need to be strong. We ourselves need to do the things that are right. And we ourselves need to each and every day think about our condition. Think about our condition. You know, there are some people that go through things in this life and they go to the doctor and the doctor said, I really don't understand your condition. I really don't understand why these things are happening to you. I believe that's the way it is with us from time to time. The next man cannot tell you why those things are happening to you, but you can probably tell why they're happening to you. Fix them before it is too late. Fix them before it is too late. Once again, we need to repent. We need to repent. In the book of Luke chapter 13, let's start with verse 1. Luke chapter 13, we're going to start with verse 1. It says in Luke chapter 13, verse 1, there were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? He says, no. I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No. I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. There's not one of us that's any better than anybody else. There's not one of us that's any worse off than anyone else. What we all have to realize is that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if we do not get our lives right with Him, we will perish. But He's a drunkard. He's a whoremonger. He's a liar. He's a murderer. What are you? What are you? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So we have to think about that. And we have to think about who we are, what is our condition, what our condition is, and we have to fix it. If it's not broke, don't fix it. But if there is something that is broke, if your life is not what it needs to be, fix it. How can you fix it? How can you fix it? You can fix it with Jesus. You can get your life right. You can pray to him. You can ask him to forgive you. You can go to the next man and you can ask him to forgive you or for him to pray for you. You can do those things. It's just that simple. Simple, not easy, but it's just that simple. See, we make things hard. We make things difficult. We make things as though that there's nothing that we can do in order to do what we're supposed to do. It's too hard. My condition cannot be fixed. It can't be fixed by you and you alone. You need God in your life. You need Jesus in your life. You need other Christians in your life. You need to do what the Bible says. That's how you fix what's wrong. By looking to the source. By looking at the information that has been given. And when you find that information, fix your lives. Fix your lives. We need to obey the gospel. We need to obey the gospel. Maybe you're here and you're not a child of God. And you're having problems. Mom, dad is not treating you the way that you think that you should be treated. Although they're just doing what the Bible says. Your friends that are Christians, they're really not respecting you because you have not put Christ on. But you want them to be your friends. Obey the gospel. Be obedient to God's word. Then you be the example to someone else. See, we have to understand that the Bible teaches the parents how to teach their children. How to admonish their children. And then it teaches the children how they're supposed to respect their parents. How they're supposed to listen to the parents and do the things that are right. It's all in here. It's all right here before us. God's word. But yet you just are having a difficult time of it all. Even the grown people that are not members of the Lord's church are having a hard time. People don't want to talk to me. People don't want to associate with me. Why? What's really going on? Your boss, is not, being so easy on you. Everything is just so hard. Nobody likes you. I want you to know this. God loves you. God loves you enough that he gave his only begotten son to die on the cruel cross of Calvary. That you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. I want us to understand the importance of putting Christ on through the watery grave of baptism. I want us to understand the importance of walking in a way that God is pleased with, not going to the left nor to the right, but continuing straight ahead. I want you to understand the importance. Here we got a brother got a beeper on the back of his truck. And he backed up about a mile earlier. Beep, beep, beep. God don't want us to back up. God wants us to go forward. People need to see us coming. And when they see us coming, they need to understand that we are for God and not for the world. Are you willing to be that person? To put Christ on through baptism. And once you do, there are many of us that have. Are we willing to look at our condition and say, we're going to do what God wants us to do? We're going to fight the good fight of faith. We're going to be that person that is out there on a daily basis looking for somebody that's lost. May not necessarily be a child of God that's lost, but it may be someone else. It may be your neighbor. He or she may be lost, and you are the only direction that they're going to only hear about, that they're going to only see. Go ahead and talk to them about God's word and see what the response is. See what the response is. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, we want you to become one. We want you to come and we want you to make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We want you to put Christ on through the watery grave of baptism. And we want you to understand that when you put him on, that you are now a child of God. Salvation is only in Christ. Salvation only comes by putting Christ on. Baptism does now also save us. People will tell you, I've been baptized. Why were you baptized? Was it for salvation? No, that's not the reason. But why were you baptized? Really don't know. really don't know. Baptism is what saves us. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. As many of us, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. You are not a Christian if you have not put on Christ. Put him on this evening. Do the things that are right. And if you have strayed away, we want to encourage you to come back to the fold before it is too late. We want to encourage you to know that God is waiting on you, that God wants you to become one of his children. And we, as members of the Lord's church, want to encourage you to remain faithful until the very end, until the very end. If you're here and you're subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.